Okay, Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. Father, I just ask that you fill us all up with your Holy Spirit. Fill us up to the extent that nothing else is there but you, Lord. That's my prayer, that nothing left but you, Father. I'd be the light of the world. And Father, I thank you that you're going to do that. I ask, Father, that you shake out all the stuff that's in us. Get us ready for this great time ahead. Now, thank you, Lord, for the good weather you've given us the last few days. It's been nice. People planting gardens and looking good around here. Lord, we thank you for that. Bless us tonight in our fellowship, Lord. Let your glory come down. Thank you for answering our prayers. We thank you, Lord, for all the testimonies and praise reports that come through. And we thank you for answering all the prayers that are spoken tonight in the name of Jesus. And we just ask, Father, that you be with us, guide us, and lead us tonight into doing whatever it is you want us to do, Lord, and to talk about whatever it is you want us to talk about. And, Father, I just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Bless everybody here tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. Are there any prayer requests tonight? How about testimonies and praise report? Lord, we bless that food that Missy's eating in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Willie.
All right. I got two people that I wanted to pray for. It's one of those situations where the Lord allows you to overhear someone's conversation. And, you know, I was like, oh, I'm so dumb. You know, when I was overhearing the conversation, you know, the Lord put it in my heart to ask the people's names, you know. I said, you know, I'm going to bring them up for prayer when we get together. The first one is a lady named Tracy. She is the wife of a gentleman that always comes through the shelter for breakfast. And so she's dealing with cancer. She'll be going in for a cancer treatment again. But I'm just looking, you know, to see her completely delivered from cancer. What's her spiritual condition? I have no idea. I just know that I come across a lot of people that tell me what they're going through, and oftentimes I treat it as just, you know, I don't pay attention spiritually too much to it. You know how you have a tendency to walk on like, oh man, yeah. And they tell you about what's going on with them and their family. And it's just not dawning on you to say, hey, would you like to pray? Hey, would you, you want me to pray for them right now? I don't do that. My mind is just like, all right, okay. And I was like, let me keep doing what I have to do. And so I'm glad the Lord's waking me up and getting me out of that habit, but I'd like to pray for Tracy. Another kid, his name is Kazi Samad. Mr. Samad is a young 15-year-old, very rebellious kid in his house, you know. Lots of profanity, wants to be a part of the gang thing. You know, just a lot of choosing of bad influence in his life. So I'd like to pray for him as well. All right. Concerning Tracy, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for bringing her up to the body, Heavenly Father, that we might intercede and pray for your mercy and loving kindness. Father, for you reign upon the just and the unjust, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for that. Lord, we're just looking for your merciful loving kindness with Tracy. Heavenly Father, concerning her cancer, Father God, that it's completely eradicated, and that that cancer, the eradication of that cancer is totally revealed that you have done it, Heavenly Father, that you're the one who has healed her, that you're the one that has delivered her, Heavenly Father. And I pray that you make your son's name made to her, and that you grant her, Lord God, faith unto repentance in the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, because we know all things are for your glory. Heavenly Father, just as you said of Christ, said of the young man who was blind, it's for the glory of God. Lord, so in like manner, for the glory of God concerning Tracy and the issue with cancer. And for the glory of God concerning the woman who was bowed over, Heavenly Father, who couldn't stand upright, Heavenly Father. I just pray, Lord God, according to your word, Heavenly Father, complete deliverance from this cancer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we put our faith with Willie. I believe it's done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
And okay, concerning,
go ahead.
And the young man, 15-year-old Kazi Samad, Father, which one of us was not rebellious when we were little? Lord God, but you delivered us out of darkness into your marvelous light, Heavenly Father. You brought us forth from being fools to being wise, Heavenly Father. And we just pray likewise for this young man, Lord God, that you grant him salvation unto repentance, Lord God, even as Christ suffered on the cross, Heavenly Father, that there might be access to deliverance, to healing, to reunion with our Heavenly Father. Lord God, touch his heart, touch his mind, Heavenly Father. Draw him near unto you, Lord God. Bring in a strong conviction, Heavenly Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you for delivering him, Heavenly Father. We thank you for bringing him out of all the unfruitful works of darkness and rebellion, Heavenly Father. And we're just looking forward, Heavenly Father, to seeing his name written in heavenly places. Lord God, we thank you for that effect even happening right now, Lord God, because Christ said it's finished. And therefore, we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
That's all I got to say.
All right. Tim? Well, you did have your hand up.
Well, yeah, I was going to do a praise report, but there's prayer requests first. I can go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, before we moved over here in probably November, I had everybody pray for my sister. She was dealing with a cancer issue, and she called the other day, and she went the medical way, but she was, you know, willing to take some prayer along with it, and we offered it for her. And, the doctors were quite surprised after they did a biopsy after the surgery that the cancer that she had quite a bit of was all gone completely. I'm not a doctor, but I didn't think she even needed the surgery, but she opted to go ahead and do it. But anyway, so she's cancer-free. She wanted me to pass along her gratitude and to everyone. And I thought, well, you know, it's a God thing. It's not us, but I'll pass the word that she was, you know, delivered of her cancer and, you know, to accept her healing and that she doesn't need to do the chemo. And so if you guys will stand in faith with me, her name's Sarah, to accept that healing and that she doesn't need the chemo and that she's delivered of the spirit of cancer. And so, praise
the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for answer of prayer. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. That's a good one. All right, anyone else? Yeah, George. I see you talking, but I don't hear anything.
Towards my daughter's at a little Bible school close to home here, and they've got a little mission work at a church down the road, and she was praying and hoping that they wouldn't ask her to really get up and bring a message as much as just lead praise and worship and do some, you know, song and stuff, and it worked out just like that. She was able to really pour her heart out this past weekend and had a good time, and she's enjoying herself. And also a lady at work, a couple of them have been sick, and one of them was just turning yellow yesterday, and I asked her if I could pray for her, and she let me, which was nice. And she went to the doctor, and they said she, you know, she had some choices. They didn't know if she had hepatitis or jaundice or an attack from medication on her liver, what was going on. But she called me today and said it was just jaundice. She could come back to work, and she was very thankful. And I was praising the Lord on the phone, and she said, I don't remember what the wording was, but when we said something about how it could have been differently, she said it was Jesus. So I thought that was awesome to hear come out of her mouth, and I want to keep giving him the glory, and he'll give us the victory.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? Hey, Dave. I want to pray for my oldest daughter. She called me earlier, said that they had found a bone growth, whatever that is, and they wanted to operate in order to get a biopsy. And they found it through some kind of MRI or CAT scan or something, I don't know. But anyway, I told her, I said, well, we can just believe and it's not going to be anything. So I'd like to lift her up. Lord, I lift up Michelle to you. Lord, I know you're working in her life. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but I do know you are. And I'm asking you to put the fear of God on her that would change her drastically from the way she has been. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you that you are drawing her to you. I thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to her and bringing her into the kingdom in a mighty way. And I praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Michelle, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And then I'd like to lift up my grandson, Chase. He's turning 17 today. And y'all know what goes on with 17-year-olds. A lot of times they're in a bit of a turmoil. Lord, I lift up Chase to you, Lord. He's had a hard road to hoe these last 7 years. He really has. I lift him up, and I ask you, Father, to turn him towards you, Lord, to put the fear of God on him, whatever it is that you have to do to get his attention and bring him in. I put him on the altar for you, Lord, for myself, Lord. I just put him on there, and I give him to you to bring him into the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Chase. You know how much that I love the boy. He's always been pretty special with me. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Chase into the kingdom in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord. All right. That's enough out of me. Anybody else? All right. What y'all want to talk about tonight? Has anybody got anything on their mind?
Brother Michael, I'd like to just ask you a question.
We can just barely hear you, Jordan.
Just add on to your prayer for Chase.
Okay.
Just reminded that one will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000. And Father, we just send angels to be with him on his birthday and to chase anything. We command darkness away from him right now and light to flood his life, the light of life that's in Jesus Christ. We thank you for your lordship and your love towards him. Father, we thank you that you are, that you love him more than an earthly father ever could. Amen. So we just thank you to surprise him with a love that he has not expected, but he has given honor to your name. He has humbled himself, and you are giving him grace. And I just thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for that brand new love, that first love that we all remember and we try to get back to. And Lord, I just bless everyone on this, in this gathering, that we're all in love with our first love, Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful that he first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, George. Praise you, Father. Okay. Anyone else? Got something I want to talk about? Can y'all hear me?
Okay.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I was just wanted to pray for Julian Assange, or however you pronounce his name, the guy that was arrested this morning.
And, yeah, Julian Assange.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, you know everybody from Arkansas got that down.
Oh, good. I guess I don't watch CNN enough to know that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lord, I just pray that you will that you will not allow to be silenced any voices that you need to bring forth the truth as to what's been going on. Lord, I also pray specifically for Julian that you will bring him deep repentance if he hasn't come to know you, and cause him to earnestly seek your face. And also, Lord, I pray that your will be done as far as getting him, keeping him safe, and that he go wherever you want him to go right now, and I pray also that he will be able to testify as to what really happened, to put some nails in some coffins. And I thank you in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What I understand of bringing him to the U.S., to face charges of hacking the NSA's computers with Chelsea Handler. I don't know if he did or not. It didn't make any difference. He did the world a service when he did it. But anyway, Lord, I thank you for protecting this man. He's got fear in his life right now because he fears that they're going to kill him. But we've prayed the prayer of faith this morning. We're going to pray it right now, too. Thank you, Lord, that your angels are surrounding about that man, protecting him. And Father, this is a great time to put the fear of God on that man and to bring him into the kingdom, it seems like. Lord, you know best of all, and I'm asking you to grant repentance to him and bring him in so that he can experience the power of God and the power of prayer. And Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that he is going to bring light into darkness from all of this stuff that they accused him of in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Okay. That's done deal. Today is also the president's wife's birthday. Yeah, she's, I don't know how old she is. She's probably around my age. And, but anyway, she's got a birthday today. So, Lord, we just thank you for bringing her into the kingdom too, Lord, if she's not already. Bringing her into the kingdom in a mighty way. And thank you for all the notes of love that have been sent out to her and the ones that have told her that we've been praying for. And thank you, Lord, for putting your protection around her and all of her family and letting her know that it's you that's doing all these things in her life. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anybody else? All right, what y'all want to talk about tonight? Let's talk about Jesus, what y'all think. Okay, Missy.
I have something from Andrew Murray, and I've been reading Absolute Surrender, and but I only ever read the first chapter that's called Absolute Surrender, and the second chapter is Fruit of the Spirit is Love. And there's this one part here that I'd like to read. It's not real long, and it's not in hard to understand, because he can be kind of wow sometimes, very wordy. But anyway,
where are you?
Second
chapter.
Yeah, second chapter. For anybody that has it and wants to follow along, actually. Tell you what, if somebody else wants to talk, I have it on in Kindle. I can screen share it so everybody can see it as I read it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So if somebody else wants to
not everybody.
if somebody else wants to say something, I'll look it up. Oh wow.
Something. Okay. Put you on. What? Somebody talk. Okay, Pat, go ahead.
I can always take up time if that's what we're doing.
Okay, go ahead.
I woke up this morning.
Praise God.
Amen. I've been taking your advice to get up in the morning, very first thing, praise the Lord, start thanking him for all his promises. And I started up in the shower and thinking of this scripture, and then ended up and kind of looked at it a few times. But it was in Hebrews chapter 4. And the... it was verse 9, and Paul's talking to the Hebrew Christians there, and he said, "There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For he that entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of unbelief." And I went up to, if you go up to the first of the chapter there, I always like to look up therefore to see what he's talking about as far as therefore. Anyway, going up to chapter 1, it gives the whole example of how... well, since I'm just taking up time here, I was looking at the type and the shadow that was there. In other words, God created this pattern of the Jews being taken out of captivity, out of Egypt's hands, and taking them out into the wilderness, taking them through the Red Sea, where the dying of the old man, baptism of water, and then baptism of the Spirit, and they were led through the Spirit into the wilderness. And then, as that pattern goes, I don't have my words formulated here, what I was really wanting to say, as that pattern, God took the Jews through the wilderness for 40 years, and then through Joshua, that generation of unbelieving Jews, shall we say, perished in the wilderness, and those that made it through the wilderness received another blessing going into the promised land with Joshua, and where they kind of repeated the same scenario that their forefathers did. In other words, they came out of the wilderness and went into the promised land and fought the battles in through the Spirit. But the thing that hit me was in verse, as I was kind of looking at these patterns, it said again, in verse 6, it says, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." And I'm reading in the King James here, but I think in the American Standard it says Joshua, but it says, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day?" And that verse kind of stuck out to me, that these Jews that came through, came out of Egypt, were baptized, received the Spirit, or at least in type the Spirit, went through the wilderness, and at the end of their life, basically, into their lives, they moved into the promised land, where they experienced the same type of pattern, baptized, being led in the Spirit across the Jordan into the promised land. And in verse 8, he says, "If Joshua had given them rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." And it kind of dawned on me that Paul was taking this story and the pattern involved there and speaking to these new Christians, Hebrew Christians, that they obviously had been baptized in the water and baptized in the Spirit, received the Spirit, and had entered into their wilderness, their particular wilderness. And Paul was saying to them to remember, therefore, that there is a rest that God has prepared for his people. He was talking to Christians who had received the Spirit of God, who had entered into that relationship, the new covenant relationship, and he was telling these Christians this, that there is also a rest. "For he that entered into his rest has ceased from his old works." And then down in And this was kind of the verse that started me off on this. And in verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." So I think the thing that I was thinking is that there is an additional, a further aspect of rest that God has provided for us, even we being Christians, even being baptized in the Spirit, walking in this new covenant relationship with God. There is an additional rest that Paul encourages us to enter into. So I haven't concluded anything in my thoughts. I've obviously still like the blind man tapping in the dark and trying to see how that applies and whatnot. But anyway, I thought I would just jump in and take up some time.
Okay. Well, maybe we can talk about the rest, entering into the rest here in a little bit. Missy, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Go right ahead.
Okay, here it is. Love conquers selfishness. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Why? Because nothing but love can expel and conquer our selfishness. And let me just say here quick, I should have said this first. You know, one thing that the Lord just reminds me of now and then, that there's nothing more miserable than to think about myself. And also it's misery being out of the Lord's will too. It's miserable in that respect too. So anyway, self is the great curse, whether in its relation to God or to our fellow men in general or to fellow Christians. Thinking of ourselves and seeking our own self is our greatest curse. But praise God, Christ came to redeem us from self. We sometimes talk about deliverance from the self life and thank God for every word that can be said about it to help us. But I am afraid some people think deliverance from self life means that now they are no longer going to have any trouble in serving God. They forget that deliverance from self life means to be a vessel overflowing with love to everybody all the day. And there you have the reason why many people pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. They get something, but oh so little, because they prayed for the power for power for work and power for blessing, but they have not prayed for power for full deliverance from self. That means not only the righteous self in fellowship with God, but the unloving self in fellowship with men. And there is deliverance. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I bring you the glorious promise of Christ that he is able to fill our hearts with love. A great many of us try hard at times to love. We try to force ourselves to love and I do not say that is wrong. It is better than nothing. But the end of it is always very sad. I fail continually. Many must confess. And what is the reason? The reason is simply this. They have never learned to believe and accept the truth that the Holy Spirit can pour God's love into their heart. That blessed text has often been limited. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5:5. It has often been understood in this sense. It means the love of God to me. Oh, what a limitation. That is only the beginning. The love of God is always the love of God in its entirety, in its fullness as an indwelling power. It is a love of God to me that leaps back to him in love and overflows to my fellow men in love and overflows to my fellow men in love, God's love to me, and my love to God, and my love to my fellow men. The three are one. You cannot separate them. Do believe that the love of God can be shed abroad in your heart and mind so that we can love all the day. Ah, you say, how little have I understood that? Why is a lamb always gentle? Because that is its nature. Does it cost the lamb any trouble to be gentle? No. Why not? It is because it is beautiful and gentle. Has a lamb to study to be gentle? No. Why does that come so easy? It is its nature. And a wolf, why is it? Does it cost a wolf no trouble to be cruel and to put its fangs into the poor lamb or sheep? Because that is its nature. It doesn't have to summon up its courage. The wolf nature is there. And how can I learn to love? I cannot learn to love until the Spirit of God fills my heart with God's love, and I begin to long for God's love in a very different sense from which I have sought it so selfishly, as a comfort, a joy, a happiness, and a pleasure to myself. I will not learn it until I realize that God is love, and to claim and receive it as an indwelling power for self-sacrifice. I will not love until I begin to see that my glory, my blessedness, is to be like God and like Christ in giving up everything in myself for my fellow man. May God teach us this. Oh, the divine blessedness of the love with which the Holy Spirit can fill our hearts. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen.
So what did you just read?
You know, love is not selfish. It's like 1 Corinthians 13, you know, the love chapter. It just, you know, I was reading through this part. I went back to all these parts that I know that talks about love, major parts like 1 John 4, you know, it says, if you say that you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar, you know? And, you know, all that in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells about love, you know, and it just, and just this, you know, reading this whole chapter, which really makes you, like, wow, you know? It really helps you to understand more, you know? You know, part of asking the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit, you know, a major part of that, you know, like he was saying there, you know, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit for joy and peace and for yourself and for the, you know, for your work. But it's like, okay, what about, you know, being, you know, the part of, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And part of being filled with the Spirit is to have, you know, love, fruit of the Spirit, that one thing, love, all the other fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, gentleness, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, self-control, all of them fall under love. But so that's the main one, and it's like, you know, everything that we do should be out of love, and if it's love, it's self-sacrificing. So if you know, and what that is, self-sacrificing, is putting yourself on the altar. It's the flesh dying, you know, the carnal man dying, you know, and that just it gives you just a greater perspective of what it is to die to self and let the flesh be burned up, and you know, like I said earlier, there's lots of times where I'm just like, there's times when I'm like in a tizzy and I'm just all bothered and just don't have any peace and everything, or just really bothered about stuff or whatever, you know, and just I'm off kilter, and the Lord reminds me now and then, Missy, well, why is that? You know, because you're thinking about yourself and it's a miserable place to be. It's a miserable place to be. And so, and you know, lots of times, and part of that is, you know, the enemy will come in, there are times when the enemy just bombards my mind with things that are going on around me and things, that have an effect on me that are going on or whatever, you know, and just my trials or whatever. And sometimes the easiest way, to get out of that is, okay, I can pray in the spirit till I'm blue in the face. And sometimes that doesn't even help because even though I'm praying in the spirit, my mind, the enemy is still attacking my mind about my trials. So if I set my mind that I'm going to pray for somebody else and get my mind off myself, that helps me to combat the enemy's bombarding my mind. I mean, yeah, I, you know, pray against the enemy doing that to me. But sometimes I think, I can have a tendency, and I was talking to somebody the other day, and they agree. Sometimes we have a tendency to think too much about what the enemy's doing to us. We pay too much mind to him rather than just praising and thanking the Lord for whatever it is we're going through, or the victory, even though we don't see it with our eyes, but by faith, we know we got the victory. And sometimes just we give the enemy too much thought. Sometimes we just need to praise the Lord, because if we give the enemy too much thought, we're still thinking about ourselves rather than just praising and thanking the enemy for the end result, you know, seeing the end from the beginning. And so anyway, that's just, I wasn't planning on sharing all that, but that's just what just came to me. So.
Amen. I like what he says. About praying, not just for your work, not just for the blessings, but praying for the love, the power to come in, for the love of brethren,
yeah,
and love of God. Exactly. I like that. Sometimes we tend to pray for blessings and, like you said, the selfishness part of it, rather than praying for love for the brethren. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Anybody got any comments on that? Yeah, Tia. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, that when Mrs. got into that reading that text a little bit, it reminded me. It took me right to, First John chapter 4, verse 7 to the end of the chapter. Same thought, but verse 17 in particular, it's talking about the love of God in us and loving our brother and all those good things. But it says, herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. So if we can have God's love, if there's a real benefit to it, you know, is as far as being accepted by the Lord, and if we got genuine God-like love in our life, it's important. It's mandated, but it's also a real benefit to us, and it is attainable.
Amen. Anybody else?
Yeah, I think that Jesus is reproducing himself in each one of us, and that's what the Romans 5:5, and we just read that 1 John 4:17 is about, is that it's not that it's one level for God to receive God's love, but it's another level to be living as Jesus lives. We don't think of Jesus as receiving God's love. We think of him as giving God's love. And we should see ourselves the same way, as giving God's love, because God's loving through us. This kind of goes back to, I remember a couple weeks ago you guys were talking about the Trinity and the oneness thing. And it seemed like the mindset of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Trinity kind of puts Jesus in an untouchable category with God, where it's something that we would never obtain to. Where if you see the relationship of Father, Son, that God created Son, and he's creating us as he created Jesus, he's just not finished with the work in us. That's a work in progress. And where Jesus' work is finished. But that's his goal, is to finish his work in us, that we look like Jesus when we're done. And I think that's what the author brought out in this passage that Missy read, is that God is reproducing himself in us. His love is should have brought in our heart to share with others.
Amen. Anybody else on what we're talking about? When you have God's love in you, that casts out all fear, doesn't it? That's what the Word says. I just love y'all. Amen.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, George.
Just thinking about when Jesus said, if we love him, we'll do his commands. And I think I was looking in the book of Acts where they first waited for the Holy Spirit. And he told them, basically, his conversation with them before he went to be with the Father stayed on the giving of the Holy Spirit. They tried to ask him, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom? And he brought them right back to the message and said, you're going to wait and you're going to have received the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And I think that's kind of what Andrew Murray is saying there too, is that we look for, we look and we pray for things, or we ask for our concerns sometimes, and get our eyes off of just being God's witnesses. And that love is just a natural flow from God, who is love. He's making us his witnesses. That means we're going to witness the same love. If we're going to be tied to him, we can't be anything but love.
That's right. Get this word in you. You'll be nothing but pure love. Walk around just loving everybody. Well, Father, I just ask that you give us the power to love everybody that comes around us, even those that come against us, Father, just like you did. On the cross, you said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And they didn't. They didn't understand that they were killing, murdering. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one that was spoken of in the Old Testament. And Lord, I'm asking you to fill us all up with your love. Fill us up with the power of the Holy Spirit to love everybody and everything that comes around us, Lord. That we would have that pure love of Jesus Christ in us, Lord. Mold our hearts into your heart, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. Okay, anybody else? On love, that's L-U-V, love. What chapter in the New Testament comes to mind when somebody starts talking about love? Now, come on now, y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay.
1 Corinthians 13.
Yeah. Okay. Was that you, Wayne?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. I had Johnny on the spot right there. Well, all right. Any more on God's love in our hearts for each other? Anybody got anything they want to add or comment on about that? Are y'all already soaked with God's love? I know y'all are. Y'all soaked just like a sponge. You got love all over you, man. I'm telling y'all, shining like a new dime out there. Glory to God. Amen. Okay. Pat was talking about rest, the rest of entering into the rest. And hadn't we talked about this before? Yeah, I thought we had. We could talk about it again. I mean, shoot, y'all ought to remember what we talked about. I'm sure. I know you did. All right. Entering into the rest. What does that mean? Somebody tell me, how do I, as an old farm boy from Arkansas, enter into God's rest? What does that mean? Y'all, just one at a time. One at a time now.
Just believe his promises.
What's that?
Believe his promises. When you believe his promises to us, you'll be rested.
Okay. What does that mean? What promise?
Well, there's lots of past tense promises. You know, you have been healed, you have been delivered.
Back up. That's right. You hit it right there, the nail right on the head. It's past tense promises. It's already been taken care of. And ain't nothing we can do but just believe what God said. That's right. Go ahead, Pat.
I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry. I'll raise my hand later.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Well, to me, to be in the rest is to cease from my own works. Mm-hmm. You know, that I try not to bring about, you know, what God's already done. You know, I mean, the perfect example is Abraham and Sarah, you know. I love David's, what he's recently shared about that, you know, that was so good. It was so encouraging, you know, how he shared about that not too long ago in the Bible study about, I don't know, maybe a month ago or a little more. But yeah, just ceasing, you know, it's just ceasing from your own works. You know, God promised this. He promised Abraham and Sarah a son. He promised them a son. And, you know, it took them 25 years. But you know, all of that struggling and striving that there's 25 years, you know, then that last year they finally believed and God forgot all that before that, you know, it's like, boy, you know, love is patient, love is kind, you know, I think long suffering is in there too, you know, and it all comes back to, you know, the Lord was long suffering and we need to be long suffering. And that's, you know, that it's like all this, even the whole love thing and this rest, you know, it's all intermingled, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, it is. He's already delivered us. He's already healed us. He's already provided for us. He's already done all of those things that he's promised us. Yeah, Pat.
Question. I think I'm thinking on it as an aware, as you become like maturity or growth, that when you, because there are times in my life when I believed I was in the rest from what I understood was the rest. And then as time went on and I started, you know, to become aware of other aspects or other things, or shall we say the onion was starting to peel and I become aware of other things in my life. And I realized, well, you know, because as I become aware of these certain things, then I become aware that I was struggling over things and trying to overcome and enter into that rest. So it kind of comes to me as a progression of maturity and growth and understanding that you learn to rest in one place, and then lo and behold, you discover another place where you weren't resting in that promise, or a promise, or truth, or whatever. And I kind of go back to the scriptures that I was bringing up there, and the pattern in Hebrews of the pattern of the you know, the Jews going through the into the promised land, and then Joshua saying, you know, saying that if Joshua had, if God had, if there wasn't another rest to enter into, then Joshua wouldn't have spoke of another day or whatever. And of course, I always took that to meaning the bringing forth or the giving of the Holy Spirit and the entering into that new covenant relationship with God. That was the process, or that was the entering into the rest, so to speak. But yet Paul was preaching this to Christians at the time who had entered into that new covenant relationship already with God at that time. So it makes me wonder if there isn't a progression or a growth factor involved in this, where again you are aware of certain aspects of your life, and then new things come to light, and you end up seeking God and finding that rest, that overcoming, and that place of authority or whatever it would be, as a new, you know, as a new growth aspect in your life. However, I seem to feel, maybe that's not a good word, but I seem to feel that there is as I'm thinking back in terms of the scriptures that God talks about perfection and completeness, that there is an end to this growth, maturity type of process. There is something there where we enter into a final, fuller rest. That's where it's very foggy or not clear to me at that point. But anyway, I guess those are just some of the thoughts that are pounding through my mind here.
Well, the question has already been answered, but it begs to say again, the rest that we're resting from is the works of man. And when we understand that God has taken care of every part of our life, that's when you get into that rest that he's talking about. We're resting from our own works in order to bring to pass what God has already done for us. It's all past tense stuff. He says in Hebrews 4:3, "For we who have believed," are we believers? Yeah, we're all believers here. "Do enter into that rest, even as he has said, 'As I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest.' Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." He says the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Yeah, Andrew.
I was waiting for someone to mention works, because over there in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore hath ordained that we should walk in them." And that shows that God is sovereign over all things in your life, and he will remind you of everything, and he'll remind you to improve even in that. That's what I got out of this so far from what Pat said and what you said. You're not reminding yourself. He's reminding you, because that's what he does. And that's what the word says he does. He's always going to remind you, because he's going to give you that reminder of that verse that he taught you anyway, because it's his comforter, his Holy Spirit in his name that he sends you this all the time. It's when we get on that tangent of being tested by the Lord, even to see if we're awake. I don't know. It's sometimes you don't want to go through the test, and oh yeah, it's not that guy, it's the Lord. And oh boy, that's all I have to say.
Well, that's right. God does that to bring us to that maturity, to that rest all the time. You know what God continually told the disciples, what Jesus told them every time, that when he was on the boat, he was snoozing down there, doing some fine snoozing, and the storm came up and they got all excited. And what did he tell them? "Oh, y'all just unbelieving. I'm telling you the truth. Can't y'all take care of this little old problem here?" And all he did was speak, "Peace, be still." That's all he said. Everything slowed down. He went back down snoozing again. And that's where he wants us. He wants us in all of these great trials that comes upon us. He wants us to know that he's the one that's orchestrating it. He's the one doing it. So why do we have to worry? We don't have to worry. Okay, Lord, it's something you put in on me. It's your problem. It ain't mine. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to rest, Lord, because I know you're going to take care of it. And that's where he wants us. And Pat, it is. Once we understand faith, true faith, true faith is believing, just like you said, all the promises that he's given us. And all the promises take care of every aspect of our life. I know when natural circumstances come up and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and things are going crazy, and we want to do what we've done in the past, but God wants us to just rest in him. When them lions and them tigers is all around you, don't worry about it. Just tell them, okay, Lord, these are your lions and your tigers. You take care of them. I'm just going to rest in the knowledge that you are taking care of them, because I know what you've already told me. You told me that you'll take care of me. You know where disobedience comes from most of the time? Unbelief. Unbelief. Most of the time, we want to get our eyes on the world and the problems around us rather than on God. When you get them on God, things are a lot easier. I'm just finding this stuff out here recently. I've had a lot of help. I've had a lot of help, but praise God. The help is good. You don't like it, but it's good. Yeah, Pat.
Some things, a thought that I struggle over with, and that is this, and I'm going to basically call it unbelief, but it certainly is a repeater. And that is, when I enter into, you know, certain struggles or opposition or whatever that's in my life, it seems like the thought that comes to me is, you know, what are you trying to show me here, Lord? Is there something here I'm missing? In other words, the first thing that comes into my mind is, am I missing something of God's word like a loophole, or I say that as a loophole, but it's not kind of not what I mean. But it's the thought is, I've understood a lot of things, and the Lord has shown me a lot of things. But is there this other thing here that I must be missing, because this keeps coming up, or whatever it would be? And that's the first thing that comes in my mind. What am I missing? Am I missing something here? I don't know. I guess I'm asking for prayer for that. How do I overcome that? And what is it that overcomes that? I know it's faith. I know it's faith in the promises, faith in my relationship with the Lord, faith in his name. That was one thing that kind of hit me the other day. I did a short study on it, and that is, in all the places in the Bible, in the scripture, that says that God says to put your dependence upon his name. Those that call upon the name of the Lord. We tend to think, those that call, I'm in trouble, I'm going to call out for Jesus, and, you know, or whatever. But that's not what the scripture says. I'm sure it is inferred in the same thing, but there is that aspect, that slight aspect of what God is saying is, no, don't call out on me, call out upon my name, my reputation, my depending upon my reputation, my name of what I have promised, what I stand for, etc. Because there's the aspect of, if I'm calling God for help, there's that added little aspect of, well, are you worth it? Is there something in your life that needs to correct? Is there something here in in you that needs to change? Is it dependable? Is, you know, all kinds of questions arise. But when you call out upon the name of the Lord, you're calling him out upon a standard, a based evidence, fact, what is written type of thing, instead of based upon a relationship. That sounds kind of weird, but there's a little bit of a different aspect there or whatever. So I don't know if that's something in me that needs to change, or things God's just stirring things up in me. With Missy, I'm stuck on myself, thinking about all the big problems I have in myself instead of focusing upon all the solution in God and his name, his promises, his truth, his word that separates us from evil. So whatever, I threw that out to chew on.
Okay. Anybody got any answers for Pat? Repent, Pat, quick, hurry. Just kidding. I'm just kidding you, brother.
It's done.
Amen.
It is finished.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, when we get into these circumstances, and I'll just tell you about, you know, how I do it. Those circumstances get in, you have to get your mind on Jesus, off your circumstances, and believe and pray, you know. Pray, that's what I do. I just pray in the Spirit, and gets me out of a lot of things. Somebody else may do something else, but whatever you do, keep your eyes on Jesus. And when you keep your eyes on Jesus, you can't go wrong. Always, faith is a progression. You're right there, because we don't understand. We came into this thinking that faith was like the apostate religious believed it, until we start learning that our prayers are powerful. Good gracious. I don't think we all understand it to the extent that God wants us to believe for things. You know, first time I saw somebody praying for a vehicle, I got up and ran out of there. I said, this guy's nuts, you know. Now I do it all the time. And not only that, who would have thought that we had power? Yeah. Who would have thought that we had power over the weather, for goodness sake? But we do. The other night, Monday night, what's today? Today, what is this, Thursday? Yeah. Thursday. Monday night, raining cats and dogs out there. We prayed the rain out. Everybody believed it. Before we left, I mean, it was coming down to cats and dogs. It was just drenching everything. And before we left, it stopped. The moon was out. We went home. People's driveways was washed out into the road. That's how much rain we had gotten. But God honored our prayers. And circumstances, you watch. Look, even in your family, don't worry about the stuff that goes around you. You know, somebody comes up to you and says, man, this is happening, this is happening, this has got to go. Well, let's just pray. That's what I do now, and it works. They quit coming to you. All daddy's going to do, or all papa's going to do, is just pray. Well, that's what you should do, and the circumstances will be going toward what you want, what you have prayed for, and that's their salvation, because they understand where you are. Then anyway, that's just me. That's faith. And it's like you said, Pat, it's something that we learn daily as we understand that faith message. It encapsulates every area of our life. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Julie. Hey, girl.
Hey, everybody. God bless you. Wave, everybody, wave. Wave. The wave. You're all waving. Yay. I think what you're saying, Pat, is just when you're not sure what's going on, you think you missed something or you're not hearing right from the Lord or whatever. And for me, it's all a process of the salvation, sanctification, perfecting, and all of that. And God's trying us here. Well, we're being tried by the voice of the Lord. And there's a really good teaching called that on the website. I can't remember exactly where it's at, but it's called Being Tried by His Voice, or Tried by His Voice, or something like that. And for me, it's just making sure my heart's right. Just keep confessing the word over the circumstance or the trial, whatever. Being patient, trusting God, and like Dave or Michael said, just keeping your eyes on Jesus, because he's already finished it. It's already taken care of. Casting down the thoughts that are contrary, whether they be your own or the fiery darts of the enemy, or the physical symptoms, or whatever it is that's contrary to what we're believing for. And it's just learning, it's really learning to wait on God and staying in the rest. And it's working a peaceable fruit, patience, and learning to walk by faith. It's really just a process of learning to walk by faith and not get moved by what isn't happening right. That's the trial. It's not happening right. It's not happening fast enough. It's not, it's welcome to the kingdom of heaven.
you hit on something there. That,
I hit on something?
Yeah you did. Bingo. On patience. That's what he's working out in most of us, is patience. Quit trying to get ahead of God.
Right. I'm just waiting on the Lord.
Amen.
Waiting on the Lord and being patient in the trial, waiting in him and trusting him. It's when you trust him, you don't have to worry about it. It's resting in the promise. It's like, okay, why am I worried? Why am I worried? Why am I even thinking about that? Where are my thoughts? Oh, gosh, why was I even thinking about that? And I didn't realize how long I'd been thinking about it. And then I heard the Lord just say, why are you worried about it? I'm like, I'm not. I'm like, why are you thinking about it? Oh, yeah. Okay, you're right. Got to train our mind. And that's, anyhow, I hope that helps a little bit.
Well, you caught me with my mouth full from California chocolate. Go ahead, Tim. Get me out of there.
Okay, I'll be brief, but listen to this conversation. You know, it's occurring to me that, you know, when you realize the sovereignty of God, it makes the rest a little easier to accept, because no matter what we do, if it's not what God wants, you know, no matter what we do to make it happen, it's not going to happen if God doesn't want it to happen. If he wants it to happen, anything we do, you know, isn't going to prevent it from happening. So, you know, just the sovereignty of God and everything, you know, for his people, you know, for our good, is just makes it that much easier just to be in the rest in everything, because we can't do anything to change what he wants to do anyhow. So that's about it.
That wasn't long enough, Tim. That's all right, bud. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Twice it was said, something was said that I've always wondered about. What exactly do you mean when you say this? Keeping your eyes on the Lord. I guess the thing that comes to mind for me is your mind. I guess, keeping your mind on the Lord, I guess, who he is. What exactly does that mean? I'm still kind of unsure. You know, they say, well, you just got to keep your eyes on the Lord, Joe. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, keep your mind on the Word.
Focus.
Ah. Okay. Makes sense.
We got tunnel vision. In the spirit realm. Just know this, y'all. There's angels all around you. I got one right outside the door there. Don't ask me. Look, don't take my word for it. Ask Eve. She'll tell you. There's one outside my door and one outside the other one over there. They already know what you need. Yeah, let your eye be single. Amen. Go ahead, Tim.
You know, when Joe asked that, I was reminded this morning that if a thought knew to me about the eyes of the dove, they don't have peripheral vision, that they just look straight ahead. And we're talking about, you know, having the eyes of a dove somewhere in the scripture. I'm not even sure where, but when I heard that that's what, you know, their eyes work like that, that made a, you know, a little bit of enlightenment to me. And as far as what you're saying, you know, keep focused, look straight ahead, don't look to the left or to the right, just straight ahead, keep, you know, going towards the prize.
Got to unmute. Anybody else? That's Eyes of the Dove in Song of Solomon. That's what Andrew just got through saying. I saw you say it. I knew that was where it was. I didn't know which chapter it was in. It's chapter 1, I think. Chapter 1, verse 15. Amen. That's one of them. There it is. I just stood here looking at it, Andrew. Amen.
No, I was just saying, how did I know that?
Well, you got the eyes on Jesus. That's right.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, like, you sort of have to sometimes even recite some verses, you know. I got them all over the walls here, so people come around here and they think I'm some kind of nut. Anyway, so you can put them up in every room, you know. Like, I have a few here just to glance over, you know. And, you know, one of my favorites is, and being fully assured that what he promised, what he hath promised, he was able to perform. And those he is someone pretty big, I'll tell you. That's the Almighty God. And he promised. And it's past tense because there's an ED at the end of the promise there. And, you know, we're partakers of Christ, you know, and all those verses that, you know, is that sometimes seem to escape you when you really need them. But, you know, you just have to wait on the Lord, too, because one of those things that he put in there that he's going to even tell us what we're supposed to be reminded, if there's anything else that you need to have, he's going to give it to you. He's going to tell you about it. I can't remember where that verse is, but if you need something, he's going to remind you that you're going to need it. You know, he's Almighty God, so he can do that anytime, you know. And it's just a luxury to have. And what I liked and was what we were talking about on Tuesday, and of course, from what I can remember, I think it was Revelation 3, 14 to 22 when Willie brought that up. And then immediately after when Willie spoke, Michael brought in Luke 9, 57 and 58. So, and another person, I think it was you, Pat, who brought in 16 and 13 of John. And, you know, I started going on a tangent. What I was looking at is some of these problems that these people had, like the churches, they just weren't willing to confess this before God that they didn't know anything for. I started looking at this as if it was new converts, but I found a lot of verses that apply to new converts, like in 1 Corinthians 1:11. But it seems like some of them got into Christ and then kind of went on a different tangent there. And it was a really interesting course that the Lord was taking me on here, and how some people, I guess, came out of their rest. And, like Paul says, I tell you now, even weeping, these are enemies of the cross of Christ. You see, these were people in the church. And he had to also, Paul also seemed to have always been reminding them about stuff. Like there's a good one there that they're partakers of Christ, you know, in 1 Corinthians 6:14 and 15, you know, and that one there, you know, when you read it, it includes your resurrection, you know, your resurrected life. It's not talking about when you actually get resurrected, you know. And I don't know if you ever did a study like this where you'd look at some of these people they're actually talking to, from Corinth, from Titus is talking to some people, and it's in Hebrews, you know, and when he's expressing himself to the new believers, you know, some of the things that he's telling them is what we actually hear here, and it's kind of like we're constantly always reminding us that we're in Christ, you know, and you go like, well, yeah, when are we going to move on now and get into something bigger, eh? And of course, you know, the future is coming where all this stuff that you have partaken of with Christ in your obedience to him is going to come to bear. And I think it's a lot easier to think on knowledge when everyone's thinking on knowledge, but it's quite a different thing for the life and godliness to come into action when you really need it, you know. And just going by that verse, seeing as his divine power hath given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. So you have a glory of knowledge from God, but it still has to be applied to life and godliness. You know, and I sometimes look at that, add to your faith virtue to virtue knowledge, and then there's knowledge there again, but it's the manifestation of what the teaching is there, because that's a discipleship, a law of liberty, where you hear the word, you remember the word, and you do the word, and that's a spiritual law. And it just really brought a lot of thought to me when I was writing all these verses down and trying to remember some of them even by heart. But I'd like to know where that tried by his voice is. You know, I'm going to have to try and maybe find that one on the site. Anyway. I'm not off topic here. I'm talking about an apostle that was bringing those people in the first century into what they were supposed to understand and what he was reminding them of. And it's the same today. And, you know, some of the particular ones there, like when he's reminding them, I think it was in Hebrews, where he's reminding them about the first things they had to know about. Hebrews 5 and 12 to chapter 6 there, and he's reminding them on the the words of the beginnings of the Christ, born unto perfection, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, teachings of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. So, and you know, even with these things, he would remind them of, you see. So that's what I was sort of getting into. And then, you know, you get all those other things where there was the church people there. And of course, this is now in a corporate body where they thought they were wretched. They didn't think they were wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. And yet they were, you know. But what about the other churches? Like, there was one there that they thought they were alive, but they were dead. You know, did they know they were dead? Does one who's a Nicolaitan actually know they're a Nicolaitan? They wouldn't want to be a Nicolaitan if they knew they were. So that's the intent of the Lord is to enlighten us with what we don't know that we should have. And it's kind of scary because, you know, you want to be great before the Lord. You want to be good before the Lord. And the comfort part is that he's the one who can give it all to you. You know, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly God Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? You know, and it was interesting. You know, I was kind of hoping that we were going to get into some of that kind of stuff more, seeing how they did it back then. Because this is also a good practice when you get someone who is a really good singer and he's worshiping God, but that's all they know how to do, you know, and they know they're saved, but they're at that very young stage where you all once were, and you wouldn't want them to go through the same things all that you had to go through to get to the stage you're at now. But unfortunately, some of them are going to have to. But how is this going to be all sped up for them in the time up ahead? That's something I think about, you know. Like, I sometimes think, Lord, sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, it seems like I'm sounding like a preacher. But other times, you know, you're reading the Bible, and it's almost like you got to go get the rolling pin and hit yourself in the head just to get it right. And it can catch you off guard, and then you hear someone else reading. You know, this, like for me, you know, having no fellowship with no one, when you guys read and explain some things, I go, oh, I think I just went to heaven here. Oh, I'm dying here. I'm going to heaven. And it's great. So just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Amen. Something that came to my mind a while ago was Matthew 6, And wait a minute. Wrong thing. Matthew 6:33-34. What we're talking about here. Matthew 6:33-34. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. His kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Be not therefore anxious for the morrow, for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, like we're talking about, on the Word, seeking first his kingdom. What's his kingdom? The kingdom's here, isn't it? The kingdom's right here. It's part of, we're part of the kingdom right here. And his righteousness. How do you get that righteousness? By faith. Everything's by faith. And when we learn that, the circumstances that come up on us will be smaller and smaller and smaller until finally you won't even get bothered by them anymore. Just go to praying in the spirit, you know. Being around David has helped me a lot. Sometimes I want to choke him, but that's okay. You know, I see him and I look how far back behind him I am. That's okay. We're all on this walk together. And the encouragement that I get from him is just tremendous. And but anyway, that's what we're all here for, isn't it? To encourage one another and to bring one another up into that place of rest that he wants us to be in. Okay, anybody else? It's been good tonight. I enjoyed it. Yeah, Joe.
Morning, everybody. I just got to say in Mark 8:34, Jesus said so much in this one verse. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For me, it means let him deny himself and leave your old life, take up your cross, is take up a new man, and be obedient. Let him deny himself. It's so much an arrest. As you can do nothing of your own. Let me do it for you.
Amen. That's exactly what he wants, isn't it? He wants Christ to come out in us. And Joe and Michael and Pat and all of us to die. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Pat. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jesus. We're looking in the mirror, aren't we, buddy?
That's it. That's it. I don't know if this is like, maybe this is just the same concept, but looking at the prophetic sense of it, I'm looking over Peter. First chapter, Peter, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto salvation, ready," this is the part that stuck out to me, "ready to be revealed in the last time." And I guess it just kind of stuck out at me as we're talking here about maturity and growth. There's something that there is a fulfillment or a completion of something that is that God wants to do in this last time. And maybe we're just talking the harvest, the resolution or the fulfillment or the completion of this whole plan, so to speak. But anyway, just kind of popped out at me. Was thinking about what, I don't remember who said it, but about this, what is going to happen here in this end time where God pours out his spirit and brings in the harvest, the first fruits and the second fruits, or the first fruits and the second fruits at the same time. I think it's in Hosea that he's talking about that. And the thing that hit me is that somebody mentioned it, maybe it was Joe or something, that said that in this last time, when the last fruits is coming in, there's going to be a need to get into the kingdom quick, just a sweeping of people into the kingdom. There's not going to be, just due to the time factor, there's not going to be a lot of learning curve ability, or people, the ability to come in, to struggle, to fail, to stumble, to get up and walk, to stumble, to fall, to get up and walk, and to learn through the failure and success process of learning. That time factor is going to be shortened in this end time to a certain degree, and where people are going to, they're going to have the Spirit of God in such a depth or a dimension that obedience is going to override many of those indecisive moments or indecisions that we might have. I guess what I was thinking of an example. It was actually something that my son had a class that he had to learn how to, I think I've said this once before, but he had to learn how to build a bridge, construct a bridge. And he was being a little bit putting things off until the very last minute type thing. And he didn't have, he had to have this project done like in 2 days, and he hadn't really studied for it. And so I simply gave him direction of how to build this thing in such a, you know, how to build it. But I didn't have the time, there was no time left for me to tell him or to teach him or show him why you put certain things together the way it is because of the natural forces and gravity and everything and pulling this, and you have to have this portion here stronger because of such and such, etc. I didn't have time, and he didn't have time to really delve in it and take the time to understand it so that he could figure it out and do it himself. I simply just told him, do this, put this here, build that there, put cross braces here, da da da, and do it, which he did do, and he passed the grade, or passed the test, or whatever it was. But it hit me at the time that there's going to be a time here coming up in the future when the learning curve has been kind of cut out of the mix, and we are going to have to stand in just pure faith and obedience, and obey what God says and walk in it, or the consequences of not doing so are a little more, are going to be a little more destructive, I guess you might say. So anyway, that's it.
Amen. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the scriptures that say, he told Thomas, you believe because you have seen me and seen the things that he had done, but he said, blessed are those that don't see yet believe, and also that if we keep our eyes on him, he'll keep us in perfect peace who keep their eyes on him or set their mind on him. And you're talking about how being closer to David there has given you peace probably, or a perspective of growth. And I see it the same way, as when you see a family or believers or somebody who is applying the word in their life, it does keep you in perfect peace. It lets you know that, you know, maybe they've got a testimony where they've been through some stuff, but here they are persevering and able to impart peace or a lesson or just keep moving through it. And even in this study, to be able to look and see you all being diligent and peaceful. And, you know, sometimes somebody could be in a trial, but not expose, you know, they wouldn't expose that they're wearing sackcloth in this study, and yet they can see their brothers and sisters and come away with peace that'll carry them through the week. And no matter what we're going through, or loved ones that are going through battles and we seem like we can't do anything about it, we have, you know, greater are they that are with us than they that are out there in the world. And we have a lot of, God is weaving lots of connections. And while we're being faithful in the little things, he is taking care of all these other concerns of ours. He's deeply involved in the details that we can't see. So I'm encouraged, and I don't know, you know, you know, it's like the old song says, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. He doesn't ordain our days. He ordains our steps. So we'll take one step at a time with sweet Jesus, and he'll keep us on that path. And that's where my encouragement is finding these little nuggets in the word, but also seeing people who walk it out. And then I know we're not alone, even though we don't have, you know, we don't have a lot of great fellowship where I'm at up here either, but I have, I know some people, so I'm encouraged, and I bless y'all again. Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? One day at a time, sweet Jesus. Just thought I'd give y'all a little tune there. Y'all don't look at me like, y'all wish y'all could sing like I do. No, I know that's a lie. I repent, Lord. Anybody want prayer? Julie put out Jude. Is that Jude? Jude? 124. Now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish in exceeding joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power before all time and now and forevermore. Amen. That's good. Thank you, Lord. We've got a few minutes here. Has anybody got a favorite verse? What's your world's famous favorite verse? I'll tell you the one I quote the most. Anybody know what that is? What's the one you quote the most?
The one you quote the most, Michael, I think is all things whatsoever you ask for in prayer, believing.
Yep. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them. And Luke 10:19. John Prescott, John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. Yep, amen. That's a good one. Stephen put up there 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him even as he is. Amen. George got up there. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, okay. Well, we're running out of time. George, would you mind praying us out of here tonight? You mind doing that?
I don't mind. Father, we come to you knowing that our Lord Jesus is with us, that you have assembled us, that you put us together, and we are in awe of your love and your care for us. We are in eager anticipation of every moment that we get to live in your presence. And Father, we are so thankful that we have already grasped eternity, which is to know you and know Jesus, whom you sent. And we receive our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we are seeking every other brother and sister who has not yet responded to the good news. And Father, let us be instant, in season and out of season, with the good news to find out who our brothers and sisters are, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Let us help in the harvest, Lord. Help us help you in your harvest. It's yours. And we just love you, and we thank you for every reward that you place in our path. And we will run the race, and we will set aside every weight and hindrance that keeps us from every good thing that you have given us, and that you are giving us, and that you will give us. And Father, we are so happy to be in Christ, and we do not take it for granted, and we are just excited, Lord, for everything that you're doing and for the good works that you prepared before the foundation of the world. We thank you, Lord, for the captain of our salvation who has defeated the enemy. We thank you for songs of joy, for our new songs that you're giving us to celebrate the victory that is won in Jesus. Thank you for the finished work of the cross. Thank you that that's where we reside, and it is no longer us who live, but it is Jesus Christ that lives in us boldly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. All right. Good night, everybody. Yeah. Yeah, good night.